השם הוא להפיע.
I also welcome all of you in the precious name of the Lord. Many, many greetings have been addressed to us from half of the world, one could say, especially from the African countries, which one can't even list here, except one would have written all of them down. And if we now look to our left and to our right side, then people are gathered here from all over Europe and from Africa also. Probably they stay already here in Europe. We have friends here from Slovakia. Most surely they have traveled at least 1,300 kilometers. Friends from the Czech Republic, from Italy, from Switzerland, from France, from the Netherlands. Just from everywhere. God has sent a famine. And I would like to greet especially my friends in Chile. It's a group which I have closed into my heart. I close them in a special way into my heart. I will tell you just now why. Maybe just a very brief report, and we are really asking that all are feeling at home, all. Also those who are here today for the first time, and perhaps I'm permitted to ask who is here today for the first time. Just let us see your hands or stand up so that we can see it. Be so kind and stand up.
Herzlich willkommen, herzlich willkommen. Bienvenue ici, Gottes Segen. Herzlich willkommen, herzlich willkommen. Herzlich willkommen, herzlich willkommen. Herzlich willkommen, herzlich willkommen. Herzlich willkommen, herzlich willkommen. Einfach schön.
Just so nice. A preacher is here from France who has traveled across the USA in a special way and who knows quite a few of the old-time warriors who came forth from the revival, which God, of course, started through Brother Branham. Perhaps we will come back to it later on. But that it is not going to be forgotten, there are indeed two things which we must take heed to. Namely, always taking heed to what God is doing according to His Word. There were about 500, that's how it is officially declared, even from the Vatican, that from the ministry of Brother Branham, about 500 evangelists came forth who have then established mission works all over the world and who had great ministries and who partly still have them today. And then there are, after the going home of Brother Branham, there is a continuation, and again God has called a number of brethren, if one could say like this. And then comes the very sad point. As the 500 appreciated the ministry which God gave, but did not recognize of what it is all about, but instead building up their own ministry, bypassing the purpose which God has according to His plan of salvation, and have built up their own kingdoms within the kingdom of God. And when we say here today with much pain that the same is repeating now after the going home of Brother Branham, a large number came forth who at first were enthused, and I almost want to say who were marching in step together with us. And then came the point of time where they started their own directions and thus are not walking anymore in the footprints of our Lord. We don't believe in any thunder doctrines. We don't believe anything. We believe what is written here and nothing else. And we believe that God has used Brother Branham to bring us back to the original word so that we can have really part in what God is doing right now. Now just to give you a brief report about my last mission trip, Buenos Aires. God most surely has opened a new door there. But in comparison to that, what followed in Chile, it was actually a little thing, a congregation of about 150 persons. The preacher welcomed me very warmly, and God most surely could make a new beginning there. In Chile, extraordinary things took place. There was hardly such a day in my ministry. After the two meetings, I baptized 125 brothers and sisters in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. 125. It was really a day which the Lord has made. And the preaching was just penetrating, and it was believed. The preparations were done by our brother and sister Schmidt, and the whole group was helped. And all who were not baptized then, they are now moaning. That's the right word. And they wish that I quickly return to baptize the rest of them who did not make their decision right there and then. Just something wonderful, how God can even work today by His grace. And the word does not return void, but it accomplishes for what it was sent for. Then we had the meetings in Lima. Also there, I would like to extend my special greetings in the Sheraton Hotel, in the large hall, more than 1,000 people, probably 1,200. And then one meeting in a huge tent, and I thought by myself, if I would ever have to preach again in a tent in my life, then it should be a tent like of that size. Just a wonderful tent, as I didn't see one for a long time. About 3,000 people were gathered to hear the word of the Lord. And then we had radio and TV programs, and one can just say God has blessed beyond measure. To him be the thanks with all our hearts. Then I cannot do otherwise but to briefly touch upon my visit in Jeffersonville. After 20 years, I made a visit in Jeffersonville. That is that town in which Brother Branham was preaching, the town in which the chapel is, the town in which the nice mission center was built, just on the hills, just a bit outside of town, on 15 hectare, nicely located, nicely planned, nicely built. Everything is there. I have met the family Branham, at least most of them, Billy Paul, Joseph, Rebecca, son of Joseph and George Smith, and I must say, it was a very warm welcome, and I was thankful to see this. More, I don't want to say to it. A headquarter does not exist for me here on earth. There is only one headquarter, and that is in heaven. And we don't have to make any pilgrimages. And this trip of mine was also not a pilgrimage. I just hope that my visit gave enough reason to think over a few things. There are certain things which they did not know of which they never heard of. Maybe they didn't want to hear them. I don't want to go any further here. In any case, we are thanking God that the sermons of Brother Branham are being sent out into all the world. But before they were being sent out, it was Brother Frank who on the 12th of April 66 was asking Brother Borders to print the sermons which were only on tape then, so that they can be translated. We indeed, from the very beginning, had a direct part in the proclamation as God gave it by His grace. It was not our planning. It was not our will. This is how God did it. And now, one special event. In my conversation with the Branham family, Brother Billy Paul said, all of a sudden, almost out of the blue sky, he said, Brother Frank, may I show you how the ministry of Brother Branham took place? Namely, when he took with his left hand the right hand of the patient, and that on his hand, maybe I would like to ask our brother Illing, this is the man, the only one of whom I can be sure of that he was in Karlsruhe and he has seen Brother Branham personally, he experienced everything. Brother Illing, I was asking for a microphone, but maybe it will come. Who can give me the mic? Can you still hear me? Most surely you can hear me. Maybe, just so that all can see it. And just for your information now. On the 7th of May 1946, when the angel of the Lord came to Brother Branham, and when he gave him the commission, he was told, as Moses were given two signs, so you are given two signs as a confirmation of thy sending. The first was that Brother Branham, as you see my hand now, he took the hand of the patient into his hand. On the inside of Brother Branham's hand, then the tumor or the cancer appeared, which the person had for whom Brother Branham was praying. And the angel of the Lord said that the one for whom Brother Branham was praying should not close his eyes, but that he should watch, namely in the moment where the healing takes place, the cancer or the tumor disappears, and it was even visible by a certain color, and it was swelling and vibrating, the hand, on the inside of the hand, of Brother Brennan's hand. It was visible for the patient, and then it was not visible anymore, namely after the healing took place. Thank you, Brother Reinhold. Maybe this was not so important for all of you. For me it was. And I also tell you why. When a divine calling goes forth, then we have to pay attention. And especially then, when there is a promise that God would send a prophet, namely at the end of the time of grace, before the terrible day, the day of the Lord, the day which will burn as an oven, that day where the sun loses its light, and where the moon turns into blood, before that day would come, God wanted, that's how he promised it in his word, he wanted to send a prophet like Elijah. And we have the great privilege to believe as the scripture says. And because we believe as the scripture says, therefore it was revealed to us by grace. One could always ask, why had it to be Brother Branham? Why Paul? Why Moses? Why? He who believes does not ask why, but he just says, that's why. Because God wanted it that way. He ordained it that way. And that's how it happened. Whoever wants to read it up can of course look up Exodus chapter 4 up to chapter 7 to know exactly what the angel of the Lord had to say by God's commission. And the first words were, fear not, I have been sent to you from the presence of God. Of course, it's perhaps more easy for us to believe what is written in Luke chapter 1, that the angel Gabriel came into the temple to Zacharias, or that he later on came to Mary giving the announcement. But he who really believes, as the scripture says, has no troubles to believe God from A to Z. And especially then, when it was confirmed by God in a supernatural way, in a way as it was never here before. God confirmed it. God confirms only His word, not a man. God did not confirm Brother Branham. God confirmed His word, which was fulfilled. And God also confirms today His own word. Now, concerning the timely developments, dear brothers and sisters, actually, one would have to have a whole evening to go into details. But I just want to mention it very briefly, and then we will continue with the preaching. We have the 29th of October just behind us. And behold, in Rome, the European Constitution was signed. That, what you are seeing here, as a large image, is the Pope. Pope Innocent X. That man who signed the peace treaty at the end of the 30 Years' War. That man who already then was uniting the Protestants and Catholics. Just look at this thing here. At the feet of the Pope, all the representatives of the 25 countries were giving their signature at the feet of the Pope, giving their signature under the European Constitution. If I now could not read the Holy Scripture to comprehend what the newspapers are printing, then I would not have you shown even this article at all. Here we have a second photograph, namely the one from the year 57, 25th of March 57, when Adenauer and Schumann and Kasperi, Germany, France and Italy, in the same room, at the feet of the same Pope, at the same table, were giving their signature. Here we have both pictures, and the headline says, "In Rome, the circle closes." Yes, there's actually no interpretation needed. Or do you need an interpretation? It's actually very, very clear, isn't it? Brothers and sisters, and I have here the Spiegel magazine, just a copy, the copy of the front page, the German Spiegel magazine. It's very well known in our country since 1948. We have it. On the 1st of May, when the uniting took place, when the 25 countries were joining with the 455 millions, there the Spiegel magazine just printed the whore riding on the beast. They printed it on their front page to show what now really is going on. And when one then thinks about that all of the Christian world lies in wickedness, with all the Pentecostal preachers, with all the 500 charismatic evangelists, all are lying in wickedness because they bypassed the prophetic ministry which God has given in our time. Whoever bypasses what God is doing, he has no illumination. He's walking in darkness. And perhaps he will even rejoice. Here I have the latest news from the internet. In the second week of November, the Pope suggested that in the liturgy, everywhere, Revelation 4 and 5 should be sung. In the liturgy, as announced here, all over the world, Revelation 4 and 5 shall be sung. If this then the Pentecostals are hearing, then they probably believe that worldwide conversions have taken place already, and that the thing is no more as it was. I don't want to say more to this. I'm just giving thanks to God. We are not here to judge, but we are here to put the Word of God unto the lampstand, and especially all the teaching points, and then also the prophetic part of this Word, which is now so important, just to put it onto the lampstand. The enemy can hide, but this word pulls down the curtain so that we can see clearly. When we have such a picture before our eyes, then we indeed must read in Revelation chapter 13. This we must do. There's no other way. We are living in the end time, and therefore we must look at the things which are happening around us from the Word. And when I think on Mr. Bush and on his re-election, the man did not yet finish for what he thinks he has to do by the commission of God. He always speaks about lawlessness. Lawlessness. He has always in his mouth, and it must be fighted at and defeated in whichever way. So, he did not yet finish his work. So, let him continue. We don't care. Revelation 13. And before we read verse 1, I don't know how your verses are in your Bible, but in my Bible it's another verse. But we read Revelation 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. One can, of course, read on. But if one would not read also the sentence, the second part of verse 2, the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So, somewhere the throne must be. The throne from which the whole world is being ruled, the throne which Satan himself, as the prince of this world, gives to him who has to execute the power here on earth, to whom all kings of the earth are coming and looking up to. This has just to be this way. The dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. But he just reads this chapter and not also Revelation 17, he actually does not have to read chapter 18, because all who are reading chapter 18 without reading 17 and chapter 13 before, they don't have the context. One must have the context. One must be able to bridge from one scripture to the other scripture. In Revelation chapter 17, from verse 1, we are told about the judgment of the great whore. In verse 2 it says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk. So, the doctrine which goes forth from this seat has an impact like wine. They have been made drunk. They were drinking, and they were made drunk. This is not my word. And it's also not written in the Spiegel magazine. Also not in the newspaper, like the Welt. But it's written here, in this book. And then we have the overall description up to verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. This description must fit somewhere. The picture must exist somewhere. This God did not just imagine. God knew already at the beginning what will be at the end. And then we have the overall description, and only afterward, in chapter 18, in verse 2, we read, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. An overall description. And then comes the cry from heaven, straight from heaven, verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins. First, the overall description, so that no one can miss it, so that no one needs to interpret anything. Everything was written very clearly. And then the voice from heaven, ye my people, come out, be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, that ye receive not of her plagues. So, there was the need of a prophetic ministry, or not. If someone thinks that one of the 500 anointed evangelists and charismatics ever preached one single time about such a word or about these chapters or subjects, then let him come here. We pay his trip. He may come here and preach. Yes. What is it? All are going on the broad way with the multitudes. They are all going from the minus to plus, like a German evangelist says, just from minus to plus. And then the plus becomes the minus, namely at the return of Jesus Christ our Lord. And when we look at the thing correctly, then the enemy managed it masterly to bring everything into the error, decorated with Bible scriptures from top to bottom, and to make the people think that that is the church of Jesus Christ. No, the church of Jesus Christ, we have heard it already in the word of introduction, is not of this world. The church of Jesus Christ is the body of the Lord. It's the sons and daughters of God who were chosen before the foundation of the world to be partakers of the divine nature, to be born again to a living hope, to really come out of everything which is not of God. Because whatever does not come from God leads also not to God. Only what comes from God leads also back to God. And therefore, we must be honest and we must say, every doctrine which goes forth from Rome leads to Rome. And the one which goes forth from the Anglican Church with its 39 statutes, it leads into that church. Everything what goes forth from a religion leads into the religion. Only what comes from God leads also back to God. It connects to God. But also this is a scripture which Brother Branham mentioned over and over again. Matthew 24. If it were possible, then even the very elect would be deceived into the error. Yes, just imagine. Revelation 5. For us, it's of a very special significance. Revelation 5 is the opening of the sealed book. Revelation 5 has for us a very important significance in the plan of salvation, because that's how it was said to Brother Branham already on the 22nd of December 1962. When he saw in a vision how the supernatural cloud came down, and as he spoke about it so clearly on the 30th of December, and then on the 28th of February 1963, it became a reality, and the supernatural cloud came down, and the seven, Brother Branham calls them angels, they had wings, they were cherubims, who were in this cloud, and Brother Branham was told, return to Jeffersonville, for the seven seals shall be opened. And then it happened in March 63. May I hide these things from you, or have I the right to pass on divine information, the doings of God? Do I have the right to speak about what God has done in our time? Or are you satisfied if I would only speak about of what God has done in the days of Moses or at the beginning of the New Testament. No, the Holy Scripture contains the whole counsel of our God up to the consummation, up to the new heaven and the new earth. And believe me, now more promises are coming to fulfillment than at the first coming of our Lord. And if it is correct, like Dr. Larkin writes it, that there are 333 special promises in the Old Testament which speak about the coming of the Lord, about redemption, about everything what pertains to the plan of salvation, then the same man writes that only 109 were fulfilled then, and the rest is being fulfilled now. We are living in the midst of the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And God brings us up to date in His Word. And if one then even reads about it in the newspapers, then we should thank God for it. Just be honest. The same newspaper, Die Welt am Sonntag, the largest newspaper in Germany. Millions are reading it. And if you would ask these millions, what has this picture or image, what has it to say unto you? What has it to say to you? And then the answer, I'm very sorry, I can do nothing with it. Brothers and sisters, it's great grace. It's grace which we found before God. That all these things, that we don't know all these things because we are so clever. And that's how Daniel said it. Not because I'm wiser than all the others. But there is a God in heaven who revealeth secrets. And this is our answer. There is a God in heaven who comes down and who makes the Word alive unto us and to reveal it unto us. Now quickly, a few scriptures from Genesis. Chapter 21, verse 1 and 2, Genesis 21, verse 1 and 2. And the Lord visited Sarah as He promised. And the Lord did unto Sarah as He had assured her. Just say Amen. As He promised. As He assured her. His assurance was a promise. And His promise was an assurance. It happened what God has said. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him beforehand. God did not only give the promise. He said in advance when the promise would be fulfilled. At the last conversation, the Lord said, at the appointed time, according to the time of life, Sarah shall have a son. He could tell the point of time. The promise was already older. It was 25 years old. But before it was fulfilled, the Lord once more confirmed it. And He said, at the appointed time, according to the time of life, Sarah shall have a son. And behold, she laughed within herself. But look here. God has embedded here already in the natural the plan of salvation. Genesis 21, the same chapter, verse
10.
Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. It's very strange. And if we now, because of time, go to Galatians 4, when we go to Galatians 4, verse 30, here we have the same words as they were spoken here in Genesis 21. Galatians 4, from verse 29, maybe we should start already from verse 22 to get the context. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. How often shall we emphasize this here at this place? Namely, the importance of the promises of God. The true faith is anchored in the promises of God. So, the one born after the flesh and the other one born by promise. Now it continues, which things are symbolic, for these two women are two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. Now the mighty comparison is made. Agar, the natural Israel, the natural Jerusalem, as it lives now, the descendants of Abraham, according to the flesh. And then the comparison, because the promise was given, namely for Isaac. Listen now. What is written from verse 26, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren, that bearest not, break forth and shout, thou that travailest not, for the desolate has many more children than she which has an husband. And now it comes. Please pay attention once again to the next verses. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. And now comes the place from Genesis 21. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Would you have found this scripture in Genesis 21? Would I have found it? No one would have found it. God used the men who wrote the New Testament to whatever was foreshadowed in the Old Testament beforehand in parables and symbols and pictures to fill it into the New Testament with its true content. Namely to show that's how it was in the Old Testament and that's how it is in the New Testament. We rejoice about it, that God has given a foundation that we don't have to guess, but we have the prophetic word and we are grateful to God for it. The comparison with the two sons of Abraham. Just go to John chapter 3, from verse 3 to 6. Ye must be born again. What is born of the flesh is flesh. It's part of the fall. It's fall, separated from God. What is born after the flesh is flesh. But what is born after the Spirit is Spirit. Then we are again at the starting point. It all started for the New Testament and for the New Testament church. It all started with our Lord and Redeemer. He, of course, came to us so that we can come to Him. The Word became flesh. Before we could receive the Word as a seed, He, the Word seed, became flesh and dwelt among us. God wanted to be again in fellowship with His own family, with mankind, to dwell with them, to have fellowship. What kind of house ye want to build for me? Which is the habitation of my rest? And then, God does not dwell in a temple made by the hands of men, but He dwells with those of a contrite spirit and of a humble heart. But before God could dwell in us, it had to be fulfilled first. John 1 verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Then Colossians 1 and Colossians 2 had to be fulfilled. In Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye have all the fullness in Him. It is a combination, it's a composition which God made. I must honestly say, the longer, the more it hurts me directly when I think about that all of Christianity is being held captive in the Trinity doctrine like in a prison, and all are taken care of that no one escapes. When I think about that one interprets Genesis 1, let us make man. And then they continue, now man has become like one of us. And then they continue to chapter 11, let us go down. And then they interpret up until they drowned in the Trinity interpretation. Why do these gentlemen not read at least a few scriptures which illuminate Genesis 1? Why interpreting? Forget the interpreting forever. The significance of the word gets, of course, greater and greater when one goes from one scripture to the other one. And we all see it. Why do they not read Psalm 102? You, O Lord, hast in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth. Thou art the same. The same is written in Hebrews chapter 1. Thou, O Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. Not ye, gentlemen, ye lords. You, O Lord, have laid the foundation of the earth. And he who wants to open up the last book of the Bible, the Revelation, here straight, before the opening of the seals, there's the wonderful verse
in
Revelation, chapter 4, first, verse 8, Revelation, chapter 4, verse 8. And the four living creatures had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And then we read in verse
10,
the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. To every Bible subject, one must of course read the respective scriptures to get the context. The same applies for the subject of the Godhead, of baptism, of the Lord's Supper. Basically, always one has to go from scripture to scripture to have the context, to get it illuminated and revealed by God Himself. There's no other way. And therefore, we are very grateful to God that we are not living anymore in the time of interpretation, but that we understood, or that we received by faith, that the Lord overlooked the times of ignorance in which interpreting was done. But this is another day. We are not living in the days of Reformation. The beginning was necessary so that a continuation can be. If there would not have been a beginning, then no continuation would have been possible. But a continuation means that the things had a progression. And so we of course know that it went from revival to revival, deeper and deeper. Even around the turn of the century, when God gave the mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it was of course just a continuation of what God gave already before. And so the revival after World War II, which the world has never seen before, was just a continuation of what took place before World War I, namely the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to point to the gifts and ministries. And then the gifts came, and then the ministries came and were manifested, not just incidentally, but for all comprehensible. This was the tremendous in the meetings of Brother Branham. I don't know if Brother Illing was in that meeting when the 11-year-old girl from Switzerland, blind born. And then she received her sight. I'm honest. I took my head into my hands and was not looking to the front anymore. And I was thought by myself, while I almost fell off my chair, so nervous was I. Yeah. I was so nervous. Brother Brenham, I felt sorry for him. And I thought by myself, if he wants to pray for a blind-born girl, then please, after the meeting, if possible behind some curtain, when nobody sees it. And when it happens, then it's good. If nothing happens, then nobody has seen it. That's what I was thinking. I'm honest. I took my head in my hands. I didn't want to look into the front. But then it happens. Then it happened. Then Brother Ram just said, the connections, the girl was running across the platform. The mother was calling her daughter, which she has never seen before in her life. And then Brother Branham said, so that all might know that God has healed you, that you have received your sight, take your index finger and touch with it on the tip of my nose. Yes, then I was looking again. Then I didn't have my head in my hands anymore. Then I had the revelation in my heart that God has sent a man whom he gives revelation and whose word he vindicated. Yes, we have seen it with our own eyes. So, a continuation. But now quickly to the one point. What happened in the days of Moses? The leading out, the pillar of fire. 40 years, the water came out of the rock, and the rock which accompanied the children of Israel was already a symbol to Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But then, the first part was done. And the Lord God said to Moses, go up to Mount Nebo and look over into the land. I told it to you before, Brother Maynard and myself, we took a taxi from Amman and drove to Mount Nebo. A wonderful view over Jericho and the River Jordan. If the mountains would not be in the way, then one could even see Jerusalem. And he who looks to his left could even look up to Sodom, up to the Dead Sea, from Mount Nebo. Moses had a look into the land, but he was not permitted to enter. One chapter was finished. The other one started. The word which God revealed to Moses was in the Ark of the Covenant, and the Ark of the Covenant was laid onto the shoulders of the men of God. And then Joshua said, go to the River Jordan. And you all know, the River Jordan was at that time, it was overflowing, and the current was strong. Don't fear. Here was the word. The land of promise was on the other side. God had the responsibility, and he proved his responsibility in reality. When the men wanted to make the first step into the river, they were standing on dry ground. And as through the Red Sea before, they crossed the River Jordan on dry ground. One chapter closed, the second started. Brothers and sisters, if I tell you here today, it doesn't help all the message believers at all who turn around in circles, and after they have 40 stations behind them, as the children of Israel. In the course of 40 years, they had exactly 40 stations behind them. And always looking back and speaking about the pillar of fire and about the prophet. Brothers and sisters, With this, the people can be distracted from what God is doing since the prophet is no more here. God leads his people now into all the promises which are actually becoming divine reality. And only then we indeed have not only understood the purpose of the going out, but we experienced it, namely when we, after being led out, are also being led in. Otherwise, it's just a great swelling words which come over our lips and we are turning around in circles. May God give us grace that we recognize how time is advancing. Also, what is taking place here politically here in Europe, we cannot go here into details, but one thing may be emphasized here. Our Lord said it three times in all the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke. When you see these things coming to pass, then look up, then lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. And I say it also tonight, and I say it to all over the world. We are not at the beginning, but at the end of the end time. And now this is so important. He who has an ear, he who really has an ear, not two in here, out there, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Let him receive God's word with all his heart, because that's what it's all about now. And I want to say, I want to point out this at the end of this service, the personal connection with God. It also doesn't help anyone to speak about the prophet who was in contact with God. If you are not in contact with God, and if you do not accept and receive the divine sending, then it's just a lip confession which we actually can do away with. No, the moment has come to recognize the hour in which we are living, asking God that we, as the church, as the bright church, internationally come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. That the divine unity, firstly, you and I becoming one in God, and then you and I becoming one among each other. The love of God, the love to the Word, and then the love to one another. True divine brotherly love. It must be manifested, for thus it is written, and thus it will be. The love of God was poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. This may not just be being read by us. It must have been written into our lives. It must have become reality by His grace. We are all waiting for a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we all know that before this happens, the Spirit of God leads to repentance. Repentance, no man can take it for himself or give it to himself. Also, sin awareness not. It must be given to us by God during the preaching. And then, inasmuch the Spirit of God has convicted us of sin, of unbelief, first He convicts us of sin, that they don't believe in me, and then of righteousness, that I go to the Father, and of judgment, that the prince of this world is judged, the head of the serpent is bruised. Satan lost his right. He can attack outwardly, but he has lost his right. He is conquered and defeated. And today, all can experience grace, salvation, and the power of God in a wonderful way. We believe it, we receive it, and we may take it home. The Lord God bless us all and help us all by grace. In Jesus' name, Amen. Let us stand up and sing once again, as so often, just as I am. As we are bowing our heads, and as we remain in silent prayer before the Lord, I would like to ask whether some are here who did not yet dedicate their life fully to the Lord, to whom the Spirit of God speaks, whom He convicts now. We are living in a time of grace. We may come to the Lord, and all who have prayer requests, all who have needs, I know today there are needs in our midst, needs of individuals, of the unmarried, needs in marriages, needs in families, needs above needs are also here today. And the Lord says to all of us, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will quicken you. I will give you rest for your soul. Today we can have peace with God, full salvation. The blood of the Lamb purifies me. The blood of the Lamb purifies me and makes all things new. All things new. Brothers and sisters, precious friends, today we will pray together. Be it deliverance, healing, redemption, whatever it may be. Earthly or family needs, need of the unmarried ones, need of the married ones, need in the families, maybe need in this world. But we have heard it. The world does not love us because they did not recognize Him, the Redeemer, and they did not love him, but He has loved us, and we in return may love Him. Our home is there on high, where one knows nothing of tears and trouble. Comfort one another with it. Very soon all will be over. Ye warriors, walk freshly forward. Also this hour shall be as a preparation time before the Lord, that we receive the working of the Spirit, that we enter into the stream, and that the stream makes us whiter than snow. That's how it is written in the prophet Isaiah in chapter 1. And that's how it will be with the overcomers, clothed in white linen, washed in the blood of the Lamb, cleansed and purified. And the white linen is the righteousness of saints. And it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness, to repent and to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the justification by faith can become valid in our lives. Every promise is bound to obedience and faith. And today we want to believe and we want to obey, and walking in obedience to the word until we come from believing unto seeing. Let us sing together, all things new, all things new. Let us believe it, that it happens.
Alles neu, alles neu, das Blut des Lammes reinigt mich und schafft alles neu.
Now we will pray together and we'll believe together. Regardless of what your need might be, today we will pray for one another and we'll believe for one another. We will lay everything before the Lord. Sometimes it is like this, that the need which personally affects us, that it is too difficult for us, too big for us, that we just don't have the faith for it. We have more the faith for the other one. Perhaps his need is even bigger than ours, but that's how it is. Today, we want to pray for one another, to pray together and to believe for one another and with one another, that God manifests his victory. Here at this place, the word of the cross shall become the power of God. In his wounds we are redeemed. By his stripes we are healed. His blood was shed. You are redeemed. You are healed. You are delivered. You may thank God. Let us pray together. Let us thank him together. Dear Lord, we thank thee with all our hearts for your grace, for your faithfulness, for your word, for your promises. You have worked faith in us. Satan, give way, be cast out, release the people, release. You are defeated. Hallelujah. Receive it. Accept it. Believe. Faith is the victory. The victory of God has been manifested. Hallelujah. Receive your healing, the deliverance, the redemption, and the answering of prayers. Believe in the answering of your prayer. God answers prayers. God answers prayers today at this place.
Hallelujah. 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 Habt ihr alle geglaubt?
Did you all believe?
Amen.
Amen.
Dann kann nur noch gesagt werden.
Then it can just be said.
Wie der Herr dem Mann sagt.
As the Lord said to the man whose servant was healed, he said, go, be it done unto you according to your faith. And he found out at the very same hour when the Lord said it, it happened. Also today it happened. At this hour it happened. The Lord God, bless us. Let us sing together, Thou art worthy.
Seid ihr nicht dankbar?
Are you not thankful that God lets us recognize the time in which we are living? That He has opened our understanding for the Scripture? That what to others has nothing to say leads us back into the Scripture and lets us recognize in what time we are living. To our God be praise, honor and glory for what He is doing in our time and in us. Not only in our time, but He is doing it in us. Tonight He has done it in us. I'm convinced that our view is more clear now, that we can see the things clearly now, that we recognize it better than up to now. And for this, we are very grateful to our God. Brother Rus, after he said some things, he will pray with us. Whatever. We are thankful to the Lord for His mighty speaking and for His mighty working in our midst. We cannot do otherwise but to indeed give all the glory and honor and praise to our Lord for everything good what He has done for us. And so we can say, we have found grace and again grace. Now we want to think, as this songwriter says it here, about the grace of the Lord. Amazing grace. Yes, He has found us. Where were we? By His grace, we have become His possession. We have read it in the Gospel of John. Not ye have chosen me, but I have chosen you. This is so wonderful. When we think in what time we are living, as we have heard it, everything is going upside down, but praise and thanks. The Lord has led us to this place and is speaking to us through His precious and holy word. Let us sing. Before we pray, let us sing together 318, Amazing Grace.